guys, welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So today what I want to talk about is all things tarot and oracle decks, and mostly we're going to be talking about using those systems together, as well as what's the difference between them, what's the strengths and weaknesses of each one. Can you read them together? Yes. How to read them together. Basically anything I can think of to do with tarot and oracle cards. This is a question that I hear a lot and I get asked quite often is, you know, what's the difference between tarot and oracle? Like, is there one that I should start with? Is there one that's, you know, better than the other? All those kind of things. And I love both tarot and oracle decks, but they are different from each other. So I want to go into that a little bit and explain it and hopefully just make it feel a little bit less confusing. Also, you know, if you've been following me for a while or if you know me, etc., you probably know that I create, I design, and make and self-publish and sell my own oracle deck so far, and I've just finished a combination tarot and oracle deck, which I'm really super excited about. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see me talking about that. But yeah, I love both systems. I love to work with both. And I love to make both as well. So I feel like maybe, you know, I'll be able to help you all with this a little bit. I wanted to apologize before we get into it for this episode being late. This week has been a little off, or at least I think I've been a little bit off. I'm still getting over this weird, like, I don't really know, I've just been kind of ill, but like I was saying to my wife the other day, it's like that low grade kind of ill where you're not really sick but you don't really feel 100%, you know. I found it really frustrating. Like, to me, I don't like being ill and being sick, but like I'd rather kind of be sick and then be over and done with it and then, you know, like keep going and feel better than not really be super sick or anything, but just feel ill for weeks. Not my favorite, to be honest, but anyway, that's what's going on with me a little bit. I did the Crystal Bridges like teen event the other week. It was this past weekend, on Saturday evening, and it was really fun, but it was a lot. I have this next Saturday also is going to be the adult Halloween event there, so we're going to be reading there again. But to be honest, I don't really know if I'm going to do things like this in the future. I don't really know. I tend to do better. You know, actually, this is just stream of consciousness, but I like talking to you guys and letting you guys, you know, get to know me and know things about me and things. But I tend to be all right, I think, if it's like me in a room off to a side or it's kind of quiet, you know. But like the way it's set up right now in the, like at Crystal Bridges, which is an art museum, it's like, it's a big room and then they have all the readers together, and it, which is nice because we were sat in like pairs, which I hadn't expected, and it was quite nice to like have that kind of grounding energy with someone else there who's also reading. So in that way I really like it, but the problem I have with it is because I'm kind of hard of hearing, I really struggle in loud environments anyway to be able to fully hear what's going on, and I also have this thing where I can't really distinguish sounds very well. So if someone's stood next to me talking, I find it really hard to kind of hear that and then try and hear the person across from me whilst also hearing the kind of like ambient sound of everyone else going on. So it's really hard for me. I don't know. I was a little bit nervous about it, and I think now I know, but I think it's good for me to have tried it and to see, and I'm going to see what the adult one is like too, but I think in the future I want to stick to more like small parties or having somewhere that there's like a separate space, like a separate room. Basically, I'm just spoiled because I work at the Four of Wands and I have my own little room, and it's got a door from both sides. And if I can hear sounds, it's kind of background sounds. I don't really hear loud sounds or speaking or anything. So I really can just focus in with the person that I'm with. And I much prefer that to a setting where it's just sound everywhere, because it's just, I don't know. Is this a thing for people that, have, what's the equivalent of 20/20 vision for hearing? I don't know. So, let me know. Like, if you don't have any issues with hearing, do you also get issues if you're in like a loud environment where you can't really hear anything that's going on because there's too many sounds? Or is that something that's coming up because I'm hard of hearing? Really curious and genuinely want to know if that's a thing for other people, because I don't really know if it is or not. But anyway, with all that said, I'm gonna keep going. This Saturday, I've been saying, I've got the Crystal Bridges event in the evening. It's from 9 till midnight, and I think it said you have to buy a ticket, but if you're an adult, it's free to go. There is alcohol there, so I'm pretty sure it's, I was gonna say 18 plus, but 21 plus. 18 is the legal drinking age in England, so sometimes still get confused there. But yeah, I think it's like anyone can go. And then I'm also gonna be at the shop on Saturday, normal hours, 10:30 till 4-ish. Maybe a little bit later, might be more like 5. And then we'll be, yeah, and then I'll be at Crystal Bridges in the evening. I will not be there tomorrow, Friday the 25th. I will not be there. I usually am. I don't know if Melissa has managed to get someone to, read instead of me. There might be someone there, but I will not be there. Just putting that out there because I don't want anyone to be disappointed, come try and find me and then I'm not there. So I'm going to try and put that out in different places. I will not be there tomorrow. I will be there on Saturday. All right. Oh, a couple of other things that I want to mention before we get into it. First of all, thank you so much to the people that have been buying my Oracle decks recently. I've had, more sales recently, which is really, really nice. I feel so blessed for that. I was having a huge problem with Etsy. Basically, my views just tanked. I mean, this is like boring kind of statistic stuff, but just like my shop was not being seen by anyone, hardly, and it, like no one was getting to actually get to look at my things because, oh, I'm not gonna go into it because I'll just get, I'll just start going off and I don't want to do that. But anyway, I switched a few things up, went back to a couple of older ways of doing things because I'd been trying new things for a couple of months and it just was not working at all. So I went back to the original way that I was doing it, and it seems to be helping a lot. People seem to be finding things again, and I just really, 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 really appreciate all the support. I can't say enough how much I appreciate all of your support when you buy decks, when you purchase, reading, book a reading with me through there, and not just through Etsy, but through anything. Like, this really is my livelihood. This is what I do for a living. I'm a professional reader, I'm a professional, creator and artist. So I really, really appreciate when people put the money into that, because it really makes a huge difference. I couldn't do this without you guys. So I'm so thankful for it, and I always want to try and get that across. And it's like, I don't think I can ever fully put into words like how meaningful it is when you have a dream and you have this feeling like this is what I'm supposed to do, and then you actually get to do it. It's so amazing and exciting and magical, and it's all because of you guys. Like, I show up and put stuff out there, but without having people that connect with it and actually, put money on it as well, it's like I couldn't make bills. I couldn't buy food. I couldn't have animals. Like, it's amazing. It's my whole life. So I'm so thankful to you all for that. if you want to look at decks, you know, that might be a good Christmas present, or, you know, holiday present, or just a gift for someone else or for yourself. The Vitae Oracle, my third Oracle deck will be out soon, as in you'll be able to buy it, and it won't be pre-orders anymore. And then my new deck, which is the Tarot and Oracle combined, which I'm probably going to talk a little bit more about in this episode. But I just ordered the prototype for that, so I'm going to get it, see how it is, and start sharing it and things. And then I'll probably do a pre-order for that too, with aims of shipping it out for Christmas. So yeah, stay tuned for all that. But you'll be able to get all of that, and you can already get my Sacred Cocoon Oracle and my Divine Portal Oracle, and you can still pre-order the Vitae Oracle until the end of this month, all on my Etsy. So that's the sacredcocoon.etsy.com. I would love to send these out to y'all and see. I love seeing people use them. It just makes me so happy. Like, it feels so good to me to get to, you know, not only did I have the joy of like making it and that whole process, but then I get to share it and like see it out in the world, and that's such an amazing thing. And you can also book readings through Etsy. I have a couple that are going to be pertinent right now, which is the Witch's New Year reflection reading. So that's great for Samhain coming up, or Samhain, Halloween, because it looks at kind of what's happened this year, so 2019, and what needs to be kind of let go of, what we've, you know, grown from this year, and then also looking at what's coming up next year, in terms of, you know, what's going to be going on, what energies you're going to be working on. And then also part of that reading is a 3-month kind of forecast, so January, February, and March. To remember the third date there of 2020, and it's an hour-long reading, so I'm really excited about that. There's also a Mercury retrograde reading in the shop. If you follow astrological events or not, Mercury retrograde is coming up again. It's going to start on Halloween, which just makes me laugh so much. But right now is the shadow period leading up to it, and I don't know about you, but I find that Mercury retrograde really kicks my butt in the shadow period. Like, I'm going to touch wood here, because I really don't want it to kick my butt during the whole thing, but I find the shadow period before and after seems to be more intense for me, and I've had friends tell me the same thing. So that reading is up in the shop too. I believe that's a 30 minute reading. Last thing before we get going into the episode proper. All right, I would really, really, really appreciate it and be so thankful if you listen to this podcast and you're enjoying it, please leave a review on iTunes, or I don't know if you can do it on Spotify or anything, because I'm old, I don't know how to use Spotify. But I know you can leave reviews on iTunes, and the more reviews a podcast can get, the more people can discover it. Like, it will be recommended to more people. So if you would leave 5 stars, you know, you can write a review if you want to. I would love that. You don't have to actually write anything in order to leave a 5-star review. But I would be so thankful if you would do that, because it really does help. And it's a free way to help us all. You know, you don't have to put any money on it. And I know not everyone can afford, you know, to buy a reading or buy a deck, and that's completely okay. But if you're enjoying it, please do consider leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Anyway, now we are actually going to get into the episode. I wonder if you can hear the rain. It's raining so hard today, and I love rain. Especially, rain for me is very healing and cleansing. It's like when I'm kind of tired, like today I felt quite tired, just getting up and things, it's like it's so perfect for just it cleansing. Like it feels so restful to me, and I always sleep really well when it rains and things like that. So it's like it's like it's just like a little breath. It's nice. But you might be able to hear it, because our house has a tin roof, or metal roof. It's tin roof, is that right? Metal, it's metal, but you might be able to hear it. Anyway, So, getting into. No, one more thing. Sorry, knew there was going to be one more thing. Tarot classes. So, my tarot classes are going to be happening in November. I'm pretty sure it's going to be every weekend, every Saturday evening in November, and then the first 2 weekends of December. September? Since when did November go to September? December. It's going to be a 6 week, 6 weeks of classes. Pretty sure it's going to be $15 per class. It's going to be nine people, limited to nine people. So it's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's going to sell fast. But so if you're interested, please, be on the lookout for it. Melissa will be putting it in the newsletter, and then you'll be able to, pay for it. I think you'll probably be able to pay for it on the website, which is thefourofwands.com. Or at the register, but yeah, there's gonna be nine spaces. It's gonna be, a nice small intimate class. It's intuitive tarot. So basically, what we're gonna do is we're gonna combine learning about the Rider-Waite-Smith tradition and basis of tarot with intuitive tarot. We're gonna look at things like numerology, so the numerology of the cards, the elemental associations. We're gonna go through the whole deck, so this whole 78 cards. We're gonna look at in the Major Arcana, the Fool's Journey. We're gonna look at every suit in the rest of the deck, the Minor Arcana. We're gonna I've got worksheets that we're gonna do, so we're really gonna dive into the intuitive aspects too. I'm gonna give you help on sorry, got a text, got derailed. yeah. Cheat sheets on all the cards, basically on all the suits, and then so we're gonna have, you'll have this basis, but we're gonna make them together. So basically, what it is each the Major Arcana will have one, and all of the different suits will have one, where we're gonna make a table. So it's gonna be, here's the card. What symbols do you notice on this card, and then what does that mean to you? So we're gonna look at, the Rider-Waite-Smith tradition, but we're really gonna delve into the intuitive aspects of it, so that you're building up a deeper understanding of the cards. You can give deeper feeling readings, more satisfying readings, whether you're reading for yourself or other people. We're also gonna do a little bit of myth busting in the beginning. It's probably gonna be in the introduction, the first class, of, myths about tarot. And basically, all you'll need is a Rider-Waite-Smith base deck. It doesn't have to be any specific deck. You can use whatever deck you want, because I want you to bring a deck that you connect with and feel good about. But I do want it to be a Rider-Waite-Smith base deck, just because it's not. We're not going to be looking at Thoth at all. So, or the other one, Marseille. My brain was like Machiavelli. It's not Machiavelli. Marseille, we're not going to be looking at those. The numerology you will be able to use with Marseille, but I focus on Rider-Waite-Smith, so that's what I'm going to teach. But I'm really excited about it. We're going to do some storytelling as well, look at the storytelling aspect of tarot, and have that can translate into when you give a reading, how to use that in a reading. We're going to do, look at the Fool's Journey. We're going to break it down into the septenary, so that's the three lines of seven in the Major Arcana. It's going to be really fun. I'm really excited about it. So there's that. It'll be happening in November. Stay tuned with the shop's newsletter, which you can sign up for on the website, to hear more about that. But anyway, now I'm going to get into the actual episode. So, tarot and oracle. Okay, let's start with the basics. What's tarot and what's oracle? So, they're both forms of divination. Well, they're both cards. So, that just means that we use them as a tool of divination to find out information, get information. Basically, I think of it as connecting with the universe, connecting with the divine, connecting with spirit, however you want to think of it. We ask a question, we shuffle the cards, and then we pull cards, and the reading which just means the cards that are pulled out and laid out gives us the information, gives us the insight. You know, you could say it gives us the answer, but I think that sometimes that makes it a little confusing because there's certain questions with divination that work really well and there's certain questions that don't work really well. And I think that's because mostly it's the nature of the question and then also the nature of how divination works. In my experience, more likely to get a better answer if you look at, for one, it's kind of an open-ended question. For two, you let the cards kind of take you where they, you know, want to take you, where the universe really wants to take you, because sometimes we'll ask something and actually it's not really what we need to know right then. So just letting the cards kind of take you and seeing what happens can be a really good way to read the cards. But basically tarot is a system, whereas oracle, this is how I describe it, tarot is a system, whereas oracle is its own thing. Tarot, you have those three major ones. So you have the Rider-Waite-Smith system, you have the Thoth system, and you have the Marseille system. And there's, you know, there's so many different tarot decks and some kind of blend all over the place, but, yeah, they're three different things. So actually, the Rider-Waite-Smith and the Thoth come from the same tradition, I believe, but they're very different from each other. Honestly, I don't have a lot of experience with Thoth. The only Thoth-ish deck that I have, I think, is the Gil Tarot, which I love, and I find really easy to read with, actually. But yeah, I mostly go with the Rider-Waite-Smith system, and the Rider-Waite-Smith system is probably the most well-known. So Rider-Waite-Smith was, Rider was the publisher, Waite was Arthur Waite, and then Pamela Coleman-Smith is the artist for the original Rider-Waite-Smith. So when people say Rider-Waite-Smith, there's either, you know, all these different variations on Pamela Coleman-Smith's art, where it's her art but it's recolored, or people kind of copy that art and made like an updated deck and things like that. Or if it's a Rider-Waite-Smith base deck or Rider-Waite-Smith clone, that means it's not her art, can be any art, but it's based in the same ideas. So her original, interpretations or her original illustrations, people take that and interpret it in their own art style and then show it like that. So that's usually what a Rider-Waite-Smith clone will be like. Thoth was made by Aleister Crowley, and Lady Frieda Harris was the artist for that. Yeah, Aleister Crowley, interesting guy. but I honestly don't know a lot about that system. It's very in-depth. It's very serious, from my experience. It's a lot more serious. Like, the Rider-Waite-Smith can be serious, but it also is a bit more lighthearted. The Thoth, to me, is very dense. It's very esoteric. And then you have the Marseille, which is the oldest form of tarot. And the Marseille, the idea of the Marseille is you have the Major Arcana, which are also sometimes called the Grand Trumps. So you have the same Fool's Journey with the same cards that you get in the Rider-Waite-Smith, but the minors are called pip cards. So what that means is they just have the number of whatever suit they are. So, you know, if it's like the 10 of Pentacles, the 10 of Coins, you've got 10 coins, or 10 of Swords, or whatever. They don't usually have illustrated pips, whereas the Rider-Waite-Smith, Pamela Coleman-Smith, actually did illustrate all of the pip cards, so that they're not pips, they're illustrated pips, and they're, you know, very, very different. So she was really the first one, I think, to bring, like, storytelling images to the miners, whereas the Marseille didn't really have that. Marseille is kind of closer to reading with like playing cards, because, you know, if you deal playing cards, you're reading a pip deck there, so, and that might help to explain it a little bit of what a pip deck is if you imagine laying out playing cards, and reading just from that, with nothing on them, just the hearts or the spades or, you know, whatever, that's a pip deck. And then those are the three major styles for tarot. Oracle decks, like I said, can really be anything. I'm looking at let me tell you a couple oracle decks I have. So I have the Art Oracle, I'm looking at my shelf right now. I have the Messenger Oracle, which is by Raven Philan. I love that. We have the Cubes of the Light Oracle, that's Kyle Gray. We have the Life Purpose Oracle, that's a Doreen Virtue, I believe. We have, what else? the Witch's Wisdom Oracle. Can't remember the author of that one. We have the Mother Mary Oracle, which is by Alana Fairchild, and the illustrations are Shiloh Sophia McLeod, who I love her art. But so you can see from that, they're really different from each other. So then they kind of have their own system within themselves. They don't have to adhere to each other at all. They don't have to have the same number of cards. You know, most tarot has 78 cards, and all tarot decks, to my knowledge, have 78 cards, and they're all that system. They're all major arcana and minor arcana. They all have the majors of the Fool's Journey, and then the minors are, you know, the fire, water, earth, and air, pentacles, wands, cups, and swords. They might call the suits different things. Wands can be staves, cups can be chalices, pentacles can be coins, that kind of thing. I think swords, I guess they could be blades. But they're all that same system, whereas oracle decks don't have that. They don't have, for one, they don't generally have an organized system within them. They're just all, like, you know, like a big major arcana, basically. They don't have different systems. Some decks will have seats, but that tends to take more from a tarot tradition. And so tarot can really be based in anything too. You know, you can have, for example, there's like the Halloween tarot, there's the vampire tarot, there's the dragon tarot, there's the cat tarot. You know, you can have them on different things, different interests, the same as oracle, but tarot will still fit those interests within that framework. So it's, you know, cats doing the major arcana, whereas a cat oracle deck might just be like pictures, inspirational pictures of cats with, you know, affirmations on it, could be an oracle deck. So they are quite different in that sense, but they can both be used really easily for readings. So I find that with tarot, what I really love is having the system means that they're kind of universal. The tarot is really based on, especially if you look at like Jungian kind of ideas, they're based on like an archetypal experience or archetypal journey that like everyone can relate to. It's like a human journey, basically. And so when you read tarot for people, you know, you could pull, essentially you can pull the same cards for five different people and it have five different messages. However, they're still linked to the original messages of that card. So, you know, for example, you pull the tower for five different people. The tower for the first person could be, you know, you've got changes coming and you really need those changes because we're going to break down things that you no longer need. And, you know, you need a bit of a shake up, but the air's going to clear. For another person, the tower could be, you know, you're doing something kind of risky here and you're not kind of paying attention to the risks. It's kind of going to come down around you and you're going to have to be aware of what's happening. You know, another way you could read the tower might be, big changes that are really sudden, but that it's good for you. So something suddenly happened and then, but here's how it's going to be good for you. Another person's tower could focus on the divine intervention kind of aspect of the tower, like the lightning strike and that sudden realization, suddenly knowing something. So there's, you know, a couple different interpretations of just one card, but it all links back to the energy of the tower and what the tower, you know, what the given meaning for the tower is, which is, you know, big change, dramatic change, sudden things happening, sudden revelations, sudden, you know, sudden change, things coming down around you, chaos, that kind of thing. Whereas an oracle deck, if you could pull, I mean, for one, you could pull the same card for five different people, and it would still read differently for each person because it's going to be related to their experience. But they generally have a more kind of confined meaning, as either described in that you know, guidebook in that system, or in how you would describe that card. You know, so if you've got an affirmation of, you know, I'll take a Louise Hay one, because I'm pretty sure there is a Louise Hay oracle deck. So it's like, I am happy, healthy, and whole. So if you pull that card for someone, and they're going through a health scare, I'm happy, healthy, and whole. That's something that they can use in affirmation. If they're going through an emotional struggle, I'm happy, healthy, and whole. You know, it's like you can apply it to different areas, but it's a little bit more focused in on just that one meaning, if that makes sense. What else with tarot, with Oracle? Oh, Oracle decks can all have different amounts of cards. And you'll see that, because my decks have that. So my first deck, Sacred Cocoon Oracle, has 52 cards, 52 readable cards. The Divine Portal has, oh, I should know this, don't remember. Oh my goodness, 40-something, I want to say. My Vita Oracle has 27. My next deck will have 54 again, but it's going to be tarot size. So, like, tarot size cards, and that's actually combining tarot and oracle. So they can all have different amounts of cards, you know, 44, 33, you can have them as low as like 10 or as big as like 100 or more. You know, it's like there's not really a limit to how many cards they tend to have, whereas tarot does have that set, usually it's 78 cards. So there's that. So with Oracle, one thing that can be good with Oracle is, you know, it can be easier because you're not having to learn the system. With tarot, you kind of have to learn a little bit and get used to the system of tarot in order to really be able to read them. Well, you know, is that true? I do think you can read tarot intuitively by just looking at the pictures and just seeing what comes up for you. But, you know, if you want to read in the traditional finger quotes way, I guess you could say, it's like you're gonna have to learn the system and kind of do the studying, whereas Oracle tends to be very you know, you see the card in front of you, it has a certain image, it has a certain keyword, and then you read the book and it tells you all about that card. It's kind of easier to learn the system, or it's quicker because there isn't really a set system for it. I personally think that starting with Oracle can be a really good idea, or what I recommend is actually having one of each and studying the tarot while you're doing Oracle readings, because I think Oracle can help you gain the confidence that you actually can read, and you know, that you do have the ability to pick up the intuitive information from it and things like that and give a good reading, so that when you're studying your tarot, even though it takes a little bit longer to get the system and it might take a little bit longer to kind of get into the nuances of like changing the meanings and things for each card for each person, you get the confidence from the oracle that actually can do this. And even though tarot might be a little bit more, you know, challenging in some ways, I can do this too. It's just that I need to build up the confidence to do it. So I really think that's what I recommend to people, is get an oracle deck, get a tarot deck, learn them concurrently. You know, they really don't have to be learn one and then the other, you know. I think you can use both. Probably don't start with using both at the same time, because I think that's confusing to mix up the systems, but that is something I'm going to talk about probably after the break, of using those systems together, because it's something that I do often. But apart from that, I can't think of anything else. I've got a list written down, but it's on my phone and I'm recording on my phone. So I'm going to have to go and look at the list. So I'm going to go to the break now, the app break, and then when we come back, we're going to go into looking at using the systems together, and a few other things that I've written down. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. So in this section, we're going to look at the strengths and weaknesses of tarot and oracle decks. And then we're also going to look at how you can combine tarot and oracle together and use them in the same reading and how they work together, how they can complement each other. I will give you a couple of suggestions on ways that you can work with them and ways that you can use them together. But first, let's talk about the strengths and weaknesses, and I'm going to start with strengths and weaknesses for tarot, and then I'm going to go into strengths and weaknesses for oracle. So strengths for tarot. One thing that I love about tarot is that although it can take longer to learn a certain system, you know might take a little bit longer to learn in the first place, and you're learning like all the meanings and that kind of thing. Once you know it, you can really take it and apply it to a lot of other decks. So you don't just have to stick with that one deck, especially if you learn the Rider-Waite-Smith system. Since most decks that come out, especially right now, tend to be based on the Rider-Waite-Smith system. They're probably a Rider-Waite-Smith clone, which we already talked about a little bit in the first part. But they use the Rider-Waite-Smith meanings and imagery, basically. And that means if you learn the Rider-Waite-Smith, which is a lot of people's first deck, then you can take that knowledge and that understanding and you can apply it to other tarot decks that you might buy later, and you'll be able to read them really quickly. You know, they'll have their own art style, they might have slightly different interpretations of the meanings based on what the creator thought and, you know, what exactly is focused on in the art, what maybe isn't in the art and things like that. But generally speaking, you're gonna know what the meaning of that card is. You know, if you look at, you know, the Six of Wands from the original Radiant Rider-Waite is not the original, that's just the one I use as my main deck. But you look at the original Rider-Waite, or the Rider-Waite-Smith, and then you take it that and you look at something, you know, that just came out. I'm trying to think of like some really recent decks. Wow, I should have just picked. Why does it have to be a recent deck? It doesn't have to be a recent deck. I'm just going to look at one that's on my... Okay, take it and apply it to the Halloween Tarot. That's a very, very faithful kind of sticks to the Rider-Waite-Smith system almost completely. So, you know, the Halloween Tarot, they changed the name of the suits. So instead of, you know, pentacles and wands and swords and all of that, they've got imps, which is wands, actually. Ghosts, which is cups. And then I can't remember the other ones off the top of my head. But even though they change the name of the minor arcana, and they obviously change the images of very Halloween-y and quite like a campy Halloween kind of vibe, it still very much is able to be interpreted based on the traditional Rider-Waite-Smith. So you can take that and apply it to a lot of other decks. And I think this is really good because I know that not everyone likes the, you know, traditional Rider-Waite-Smith style, me being one of those people, but, you know, you can get that as, say, a starter deck, a beginner deck, when you're first learning, learn based on that, and then you can buy yourself another deck that you really like the art, and you'll still be able to read it. You won't have to learn a completely new system, and I mean, to be honest, I don't think you have to learn on one of the basic decks, but I think it makes it easier. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you have, you know, a different deck than one of the standard beginner decks as your beginner deck, don't worry about it. I did not start with the Radiant Rider-Waite. I actually started with the Tarot of a Moon Garden was my first deck. Don't recommend that one as a first deck though, because it's quite sparse. It's almost a pip deck. So it's quite hard to read with. Anyway, let's get off point. But yeah, you can take the information and apply it to different decks. Another strength of tarot is I love that it's like an archetypal human journey. And so, you know, most people will have had experiences that fit into that, into the deck. Some people will have had all of those different experiences. You could have lots of different cards actually be part of the same experience. So most people have an understanding of like how those archetypes can show up in our lives. And then, you know, they might show up in a different way for different people. So, you know, say something like the magician might be for one person like an artistic career, and for another person it might be like making new opportunities, like making new paths to, I don't know, manifest a new house, you know, whatever. But like, a lot of people are going to understand those archetypes, and I find that that helps in a reading, because it just, it's easier to read for someone if they can understand and see in the cards, like, yes, this makes sense to me, even, yes, I understand the concept of this, you know, the magician is, like, making something, creating something, channeling that energy, bringing ideas into fruition, you know, most people are going to understand what that is, and then you're really, in the reading, you're just getting into the nuances of, like, how that applies to their life, and then you're reading it in combination with the other cards, you know. So, again, it can take a little bit of time to learn, but once you do, I find that, like, the archetypal nature of tarot makes it easier to read for lots of different people. And one thing I really like about tarot is you could read for someone and get the same cards for three different people, and it mean three different things. However, it's still going to go back to the archetype of that card. So, you know, for example, you know, if we take the magician, like I just said, and you read that for three people, and for the first person, it could be manifesting your dreams, like, kind of following your dreams, having the moxie, I guess you could say, to follow through on your dreams. Another person, it could be, like I said, an artistic career, so you've got the ideas, you've got the inspiration, now you just have to figure out how to bring it through. Then another person, it could be talking about manifesting, and talking about, you know, thoughts, and maybe how we're thinking about something, and self-talk, and confidence, and all of that kind of stuff. So you read that in three different ways, but it's all going to come back to that archetypal understanding of the magician, which is someone who is able to channel energy, someone who is able to use all of the different energies, the different elements, and all their qualities together to bring forth, like, their creations, to manifest. They do have that confidence, all of that kind of thing. So you've got that. Another thing that I like about tarot, another strength, is the community of it. And this isn't really, you know, strictly to do with the system, but so many people are interested in tarot. And the good thing about that is that there's more and more people every day who are picking up tarot, who are interested in it, and who you can, you know, who can be like kindred spirits, and you can make friendship groups, and you can really help each other. And also, people that are into tarot tend to be interested in like spiritual development, spiritual growth. And so it's easier to find people who are, you know, might maybe share like interests with you through tarot. So I love that about it. Now, weaknesses. What's some weaknesses of tarot? I think one of the biggest weaknesses about tarot isn't actually about tarot, it's about the myths around tarot and the ideas, you know, from things like movies and all of that. It's like, with tarot, you generally do have to deal with a little bit more of the fear of, like, the death card, the devil card, the tower, you know, what else are people scared of? The Ten of Swords, the Eight of Swords, the who else is scary? The Tarot. oh, can't think off the top of my head. But anyway, people see those, especially things like Death and the Devil. They've seen them in the old movies, and they're scared of them, you know? So when you're reading, sometimes that will put people off, and they'll go, tarot cards, nope, that's evil. You know, they're a big enough thing that people know what they are, enough to have heard things about them that would scare them off. They haven't heard enough to actually try it and realize that it's fine, but they've heard enough that they're scared of it, and yeah. So, you know, you can be dealing with that a little bit. It doesn't really have a huge effect on me from, like, a business point of view, because, you know, I kind of think of it like, well, if they're scared of it and they're not going to come for a reading, I'm not going to really know about them anyway, because they didn't come for a reading, you know. And there's plenty of people who are open to it, but yeah, you might end up facing some of that. Like, is this a... I've had someone come up to me and say, which part of this is the devil worship part? And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, which part, like, where's the part where you, like, worship Satan or whatever? And I'm like, nowhere? That's not part of my thing? Like, I mean, You do you, people, but that's not my thing. But that is a misconception about tarot, is that it's evil, it's dark, it's dangerous. I'm actually going to do a podcast episode about this, but anyway, you do sometimes have to deal with that. Doesn't happen a lot. Most people that come for a reading, they've already at least open enough to it to try it, but just occasionally. If you talk about it out in public, you might get more of that, ooh, like super spooky. And I mean, it's fine, but it can get a little frustrating because it's like, no, it's all right. Anyway, so that can be a downside. Another downside is really just that it does take time to learn, and it is, it takes time. It's 78 cards. And there are things that can make it easier to learn, like breaking it down to certain things. Excuse me. But I get why it's intimidating to people, and I do think it does require more kind of study and dedication than an oracle deck might, and I'll explain why in a second. But yeah, that can be a weakness. So then moving on to oracle decks, what's some strengths and weaknesses of those? So oracle deck strengths. I really like that for an oracle deck, you don't need to know a system. You don't need to know tarot. Oracle decks generally don't have a system. They're just, however many cards, and then they all have that theme of whatever it is. Like, say, for example, the Queen of the Moon Oracle is all about different moon phases and what they might mean and things like that. And so you really don't have to have any understanding of like the tarot system or anything for that. They're also a lot easier to and quicker to pick up and just be able to draw a card and not have to sit down and like learn something first. I also find with oracle decks that they can sometimes be a little bit more intuitive because they don't have this. I don't want to say they're not as deep because I think they can be extremely deep. And I don't think there's like a, oh, tarot is better than oracle, oracle's better than tarot. Like, I'm not into that at all. But like, I think just for something where you don't have to, sit down and think about all these different connections if you don't want to, oracle might be a little bit easier, a bit quicker. And I like to draw oracle decks. I mean, I do, but oracle cards for like one for the day and what's coming up. Whereas with tarot, I tend to use tarot in a bit more of a like deeper contemplative kind of way, where I'm like really laying something out. Sometimes I don't have time for that, and sometimes I also just don't want to do it. So I like oracle for that. What else about oracle? I really like that they don't have to adhere to a system. They can be really different because I find that that can give a lot of space for creativity, and I don't mean that in the sense of that tarot can't be creative, because I think it can, and there's a lot of very creative tarot decks. But oracle decks, you can really do whatever you want. You just make your own kind of theme of what it is, and then it is what it is. You really define it, and I like that about it. I think that's the strength about it. What else is there? Oracle decks, strengths. I find, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but I find that they read really well with other decks. Tarot can do this too, but I find if you try and mix like three tarot decks together, that's going to get really confusing. Whereas oracle decks, you can mix them with each other because they generally don't have a, one system between both of them. They're different. And then you can also combine tarot and oracle together, which we're going to talk about. So that's the strength of it. Weaknesses. What's a weakness? They're very specifically themed, a little bit less so than tarot. You can have a themed tarot deck, but because it's that archetypal nature of tarot, it still has that kind of like bigger whole fool's journey and all of that. It still links into the tradition, so it's a bit broader just for that. Even if it's illustrated or has a very specific setting, it's done a certain way. Whereas oracles, they tend to be very self-contained within themselves, but then that can kind of narrow down their focus. And I think that can be a strength and a weakness. It can be a strength if you don't want to have to think about like everything to do with it, necessarily. Not that you have to do that with tarot, but anyway. Or a weakness, because it can be a little bit too confined, and sometimes you want a different kind of way of looking at it, and it might not be in that deck, so you're kind of a little more restricted by what's in that deck and how does the deck creator like deal with that and things like that. So that could be a weakness for it. And then obviously, you know, if you learn Oracle, every Oracle deck has a different system, so there's not as much learning and like time intensity involved. I don't know if that's really a phrase, but you know what I mean. But having said that, you can't take that and apply it to other things. You kind of got to start from scratch with every deck, in a sense. I mean, every time you read with a deck, you're going to be building those like intuitive muscles and trusting your intuition, so it gets easier. But you know, you still do have to change systems, so that's a weakness. But now to move on to the next part, if we're looking at how can you, well, first of all, people ask, can you use Tarot and Oracle together? I think you can. And here's how I would recommend that you do it. One thing that I love to do with Tarot and Oracle is basically use one deck. Usually I use the Tarot to give like the major, you know, the theme of what are we looking at right now? What's the big life event, the big life theme, energy, whatever that we're looking at right now? And then use the Oracle to basically give more in-depth information on that and clarify it. You can, obviously you can use all Tarot for this or all Oracle, but I find there's something about the way they play together with this kind of question that I love. It brings like a depth to it that sometimes I don't get from, you know, just one or just the other. I think it's also because they can bring different perspectives together, because if you think even just from like different deck creators having different perspectives and looking at things in a different way. It's like one really good thing about Tarot is that it can help us see different pathways, it can help us see different points of view, look at things differently. And then if you think about combining, say, Tarot with Oracle cards, you kind of get even more of that. You get to see things from lots of different points of view, even within one reading, so you don't have to do multiple readings. You know, I think like efficiency is a really good thing about combining Tarot and Oracle together. And I also think that it can be great to do a big reading with Tarot and Oracle combined. Sometimes for me, and I don't know if other people get this, but if I'm doing a really big spread, having all one deck, I don't know what it is, but it feels a little bit overwhelming to me in my brain. And so sometimes I like to mix it up and have different decks kind of going on at the same time, because they play off each other and they bring these different things together. So another thing you can do with Tarot and Oracle together is basically, you know, do a spread. And for the spread, instead of pulling one card from either just the Tarot or just the Oracle deck, you pull one card from the Tarot and one card from the Oracle for each part of the spread. So, you know, if you've got past, present and future, for example, super simple. Instead of pulling three cards, you pull six cards, three from the Tarot, three from the Oracle, and then you read those cards in combination. So you turn over each card and you look at them together. So there's two cards together. What do they say about each other? How do they inform each other? Now, this can be really interesting because I find that it can kind of deepen our understanding of each system too. You know, looking at a Tarot card, but with like a information coming from an Oracle card that isn't even from the same system, it's not from the same deck, you'll see how it's like perfect serendipity that they line up perfectly and they make sense together. I also find that this can be a good challenge because it can help us to like expand our reading, expand our skills and read in different ways and read in more intuitive ways as well, which I really like. So that's something you can do. You could also what else could you do? Tarot and Oracle together. I really like to use the different decks to look at different things. So, for example, because you can get really specific Oracle decks, like one of my favorite Oracle decks that I like to use in readings with clients is the Life Purpose Oracle, because it's great at looking at what it says on the tin, life purpose and careers and jobs and what would be good for that person and things. And combining Tarot with like what's the archetypal energies and strengths and, you know, things that this person has that's a skill for them, and then what can they take that and apply it to. I like that Oracle decks can be very direct, they can be very focused on one particular thing. You know, if you want to do career readings, you want to do life purpose readings, then you can get a deck that's a life purpose deck and that's what it focuses on. Or there's cards that are made for mediumship, like the spirit messages deck. There's decks to work with guides, like the Ask Your Guides deck by Sonia Choquette, who's one of my favorite creators, and I really like her for decks, and also her book's really good. But you can get a deck that's really specific, and then you can combine it with tarot to give it like a bigger feel. So they work with each other's like strengths and weaknesses that way, basically. You know, one expands the other and one kind of focuses the other one down, so they kind of work like that. Another thing that I like to do with oracle decks, and this isn't really something just to do with tarot, but I forgot to mention it before, but with oracle decks, is using things for as an oracle that wasn't traditionally meant as an oracle. So there's different ways you could do this. A couple of my favorites are things like, I use cloud cards as an oracle deck. Cloud cards were originally made from the anime series, Card Captors. They're not actually traditionally oracle cards. There's no traditional way to read them as oracle cards because they're not meant to be that, but they're, you know, illustrations on card and they read really well as oracle. I also like to use the Story World cards for that. Again, they weren't made as an oracle. They were made as like a storytelling tool for children, but they're illustrated and they're gorgeous. And they're actually by John and Caitlin Matthews, who have done a lot of different things in like, you know, decks and like the pagan world. So they definitely cross over there. Then other things could be like playing cards. Like, you know, you get playing cards with quotes and things on them. I mean, playing cards can be used as a form of divination, but you could just use the quote. I have a Bob Ross playing card deck that I love dearly because I love Bob Ross. Bob Ross, in case anyone ever asks me and I'll forget, Bob Ross is one of the people that I would invite to my, like, if you could invite anyone to dinner, who would you invite? Bob Ross is one of them. but I have like a deck of playing cards that have different quotes from him on it, and I can use that as an oracle, you know, to see like advice or guidance. It's almost like having Bob Ross as like your little guardian angel. It's really sweet. What else is there? Like Dixit cards. So there's a game called Dixit that has these cards that are illustrated, and I'm pretty sure that also is like a storytelling thing, but you can use that as oracle. So there's so many different things you can use as an oracle. That's not really to do with combining it with tarot though. Okay, I think that's everything that I wanted to talk about. This episode got a little long, but not as long as some of the really long ones, so I think we're good. So I hope you are having a wonderful day or night, wherever you are, and I'm sending you so much love. Bye now.